How many of you remember when the Polaroid instant cameras came out, early 70s? Yeah. Remember those? I thought those were so neat. We never had one, but my uncle had one, and he brought it over once, and you took a picture, and within like 30 seconds, a picture came out of the camera. It was instant. You had it right there in your hand, and you could see it, because before that, you know, you had to take the film out of the camera and take it down to the film processor, and then usually wait about a week, and then you would get your pictures back eventually, and then you would mail those pictures to people that you wanted to share those pictures with, or you had to wait until the next time you all got together to share those pictures. Boy, how things have changed. Now we can document every moment of our life with one of these. Yours is probably newer than this, but this is a Samsung 5, I think. So yeah, it's a little older, but you know, you can document every moment of your life and instantly share it with people that you want to share it with. Of course, the self photo is called a selfie, right? That you take of yourself and those who may be in that picture. And everyone's taking selfies these days to show us what they're doing, where they are, where they've been, or what they're up to. But we're all savvy enough to know that selfies don't tell the whole picture. Right? You usually try to frame it in the best way you can, and you don't see everything that's outside of the picture. And you also don't see all the stuff that's going on in your life outside of the picture, because selfies tend to show us what we wish our life to be and not exactly necessarily what our life is. It's just a small staged snapshot of a very complicated life. That's what selfies are. But in order for us to develop a spiritually mature life and a full life, there are three original selfies that we need to incorporate into our life. And it does not involve a camera. It involves something else, something deeper, something more serious. And we're going to explore those three original selfies over the next few weeks. And we'll be talking about self-awareness, self-reliance, and something called self-advocacy. All three of those are important for us as Christians if we are to develop into the kinds of sons and daughters of God that our Heavenly Father wants us to be. So self-awareness, self-reliance, and self-advocacy are so important for each of us to develop in our lives. Particularly as Christians, if we are going to be effective ambassadors for Christ in this world. So today we're going to begin with self-awareness and what that means and how we can incorporate that into our life. And I want to begin talking about self-awareness by going back to a classic movie from 1998. I never thought I would be old enough to say a classic movie from 1988, which doesn't seem that long ago. Called Bull Durham. Anybody ever seen the baseball movie with Kevin Costner? Okay. There's a famous line in the early part of that film where Annie Savoy, who's played by Susan Sarandon, she's kind of a down and out situation in her life, and she makes a quote that says, "The world was made for those who are not cursed with self-awareness." In other words, those who can go through life with not really being aware of what they're all about, sort of blithely through life, not concerned about themselves or others. And she's referring to this clueless playboy minor league player in the movie. He's a hotshot pitcher named Nuke LaLoosh, played by Tim Robbins. You probably remember that character if you've seen the movie. And he is poised for the major leagues. He's already successful in minor leagues. He's already spending the money that he doesn't have on cars and clothes because he's certain that he's going to the big leagues. And but he's sort of clueless to how he's wasting his life because he's not focused on the chance that he has. He thinks he's just going to slide in and get it without any problems. And so he's kind of leading into this life of hedonism that's distracting him from what he needs to be focused on. And there's this scene in the movie where Crash Davis, who's played by Kevin Costner, he's the aging minor league player, sort of the wise one in the movie. And he has this conversation with this clueless Nuke Lelouch. And I've cleaned up the language a little bit to make it Sunday morning appropriate. But here's how the conversation goes. Lelouch says, "How come you don't like me?" And Crash Davis says, "Because you don't respect yourself, which is your problem, but you don't respect the game of baseball, and that's my problem. You got a gift," he says. And Lelouch says, "I got what?" Crash Davis says, "You got a gift. You, when you were a baby, the gods reached down and turned your right arm into a thunderbolt. You got a Hall of Fame arm, but you're giving it away." Lelouch says, "I ain't giving nothing away. I got a Porsche already, a 911 with a quadraphonic Blaupunk." And Davis says, "Lord, you don't need a quadraphonic Blaupunk. What you need is a curveball." See, a lot of people that you will meet in life, they have a quadraphonic Blaupunk. I have no idea what that is, but I'm sure it's something powerful. But what they need is a curveball. Because they're going at life just throwing fastballs. That's all they know, is one thing and one thing only. And they're just firing on all cylinders, and they're going through their life playing the game. Man, they may be making lots of money. They may be very successful. But they have no idea what they're doing. They have no nuance to their life, no subtlety about the joys of life. They're just a fastball. They make a lot of noise and they put on a good show, but they don't know who they are inside. And if you are estranged from yourself in this life, you will be estranged from any joy in life. If you don't know who you are, then you will be estranged from happiness. There's an old Greek aphorism that says, "Know thyself." Know thyself. How much of our lives do we spend learning about other people and things and events? We go to school and learn all these things, and we become specialties in our fields. But we spend so little time learning about who we are and what we're about. And I've got a little secret. Did you know that you will spend more time in your life with yourself than anyone else? In fact, you will spend every second of your life with yourself. Isn't it important that we get to know ourselves, who we are? But we spend more time critiquing and judging others than we do examining our own thoughts and our own words and our own deeds. And the result of this is a life where we go through life as this thoughtless combination of our DNA and what we were indoctrinated into as a child. And that's not necessarily a bad thing. We're taught things. We're taught how to survive in the world, and we're given our heritage and that. But if you never develop a critical outlook on life, and if you never look at yourself and start asking questions of who am I, then what you will be is a thoughtless combination of the genes that you inherited and the things that you were taught as a child. And that's who you will be. And if that's all that we ever will be, if you go through life and you never begin to question, and you never pull that plank out of your eye, and you never take a serious inventory of who you are, the good and the bad and the ugly, then you may never know who God wants you to be. You may never know what God wants you to do with your life that you've been given. And to do that requires a very holy and sobering enterprise, and it's called self-awareness. If we're to grow and we're to develop, we must learn to turn our gaze to ourselves and to take a look and to evaluate our lives and do that on a regular basis, and then make adjustments based on those evaluations that we find there. And this is called self-awareness. Jesus says it's akin to removing the plank out of your eye that you're so clueless to that you don't see that's there, because you've been busy worried about the speck in the other person's eye. Self-awareness is an awareness of what makes you unique. Each of us are unique. We're special. We're important in the eyes of God. And there's something that we're to do while we're here. We have been loaned time on this earth. What are we going to do with it? You know, there was some years ago, Daniel Goldman wrote a book called Emotional Intelligence. It was a required reading for a lot of places in business and agencies. And he equated self-awareness with knowing one's internal state. So knowing what's going on inside, knowing your preferences, knowing your resources, and knowing your intuitions. It's your ability to monitor your inner world, your thoughts and your emotions, and to know what's going on there. So fundamentally, self-awareness is about judgment. It's about evaluating yourself objectively, how you're thinking and feeling and acting, and then respond to your evaluations with, you know, I should have done that, or I shouldn't have done that. And you grow from those observations and those judgments and those adjustments in life. We don't do that too often or often enough. Because we thoughtlessly go through life as a combination of our DNA and what we were taught as a child and what we want to hear, what makes us feel good, and we don't do that evaluation of our life so that we can grow. But there are so many benefits of pulling that plank out of our eye so that we can see the world as it really is and see ourselves as we really are. A couple of things, benefits of self-awareness. You live life self-consciously rather than passively. You don't let life happen to you. You take on life. And you begin to apply yourself and to take on life and to take on challenges and not let life have control of you. You also have a greater depth of life experience, and you become more compassionate. Because when you know what's going on inside of you and your own struggles, you realize that everyone else has those same struggles, and everyone else is dealing with issues. And if money's your thing, it's also pretty nice if you want to make a lot of money. There was a study of 72 executives by Cornell University of public and private companies. They all had revenues, these companies, of $50 million to $5 billion, and they found that high self-awareness score was a strong predictor of overall success. So if you want to be successful in life, practice self-awareness. So all these benefits are there, whether it's for your well-being or even for your pocketbook. Why do not people practice self-awareness? Why are there so many people walking around who are clueless about who they are? Everybody else can see what's going on about them, but they don't see it for themselves. Well, for one thing, I think we operate on automatic pilot. We're unconscious of what we're doing. We just let our minds wander from day to day and from one thing to the next without any discipline. No one's really ever taught us that we need to be self-aware. There's also this thing called confirmation bias, where we make up our mind about something and we create this worldview, and we will listen to anything that confirms that worldview, but we won't let anything challenge it. And so we build this idea about ourselves, and we protect ourselves. We build this wall around us of who we think we are. And if anything challenges it, we don't listen to it. We only accept those things that confirm how wonderful we are, right? How great we are. And we also tend to be adverse to receiving feedback. It takes a certain level of maturity and bravery and vulnerability for you to ask somebody, what am I doing that I could do differently? What do you not like about me? And I think ultimately, we don't slow down and begin to practice self-awareness because I think we're afraid of what we'll find if we look inside. Tennessee Williams, you remember, he wrote some powerful plays like A Streetcar Named Desire and A Cat on a Hot Tin Roof. He said darkly, there comes a time when you look in the mirror and you realize that what you see is all that you will ever be, and then you accept it, or you kill yourself, or you stop looking in mirrors. But Mr. Williams overlooked a third possibility, and that's what we're about in the church, is a third possibility. And that is this, that there is one who lives in you that will propel you to joy. and happiness and greater accomplishments in life. If you will look inside your life and you will allow that plank to be pulled out and you'll let a light shine into your life and show the darkness that's there, show the sin that's there, and show the good, the bad, and the ugly, you will find that below all of that there is one who lives in you. Someone who's holding you up, who's empowering you, and who loves you. And it's the Christ within. And this Christ reveals to us, as the psalmist says, that each of us are fearfully and wonderfully made. Each of us here today, in spite of what we've done, in spite of what we're doing now, in spite of the plank that's in our eye and we're afraid to look inside, if you will look inside and deal with the stuff that's there, you will find that below that is one who is fearfully and wonderfully made. Because Christ is there. And he's waiting for you. So when Jesus tells us to pull the plank out of our own eye before we begin judging the other, he's telling us that we need to learn self-awareness. And this morning I want to just talk briefly about ways to cultivate self-awareness. Because it's that important that we do that, that we learn to take the plank out of our eye and look at our lives and see where we are in relation to ourselves and relationship to the world. Well, the first thing that Jesus tells us to do to practice self-awareness is to go into your prayer closet. He tells you to go off to a quiet place and just sit with the Lord. Jesus did that often. In fact, the King James says he went out to a desolate place, a place where nobody was. There was no one to flatter him, no one to criticize him. It was just he with himself and his God. And so Jesus encouraged us to go to our prayer closet and to pray, to leave yourself some time and space every day. Maybe first thing in the morning to kind of prepare yourself for the day. Lord, empty me of any darkness, empty me of any sin, empty me of any judgment, empty me of any fear or anxiety or doubt, and fill me with the power of the Christ within for the day ahead. That's a good prayer to have. Just set with the Lord and just pray that prayer. Before you go to bed at night, pray that prayer backwards. Lord, whatever I did today that was not in your will, forgive me. Let me spend some time here looking at what I've done. What was pleasing to you? What was not pleasing to you? And how I can regroup and tomorrow do it better and do it for you. The Catholic faith, that practice is called the examine. So create some space for yourself. Go to your prayer closet. Spend some time with the Lord. Also, something that we can do to cultivate self-awareness is practice mindfulness. This is what Paul called praying without ceasing, being mindful every moment of what you're doing before the Lord. Whether you're at work, whether you're at play, whether you're at school, whether you're in a family situation, whether you're at the family reunion, whether you're at Kroger, whatever you're doing, that you're always aware of where you are and what you're doing, what you're thinking, what you're saying, and how you're interacting with your brothers and sisters in the world, and with the Lord. Just being mindful of the moment. Because most of the time we find ourselves living in the past, we're regretting the past, something that we've done in the past, or we're living in nostalgia for the past, or we're living in the future, we're worried about the future, or we're anticipating that something will happen in the future, but we're not living in the moment, which is really all we have. Because the past is gone, the future hasn't happened yet, what you have is right now. And so practicing that mindfulness to be aware of how am I living and moving in the world? How am I interacting with my fellow humans? How am I interacting with the world? And how am I interacting with God? So creating some space for yourself in the morning and in the evening and then throughout the day, practicing mindfulness. Another thing that is really helpful in creating self-awareness, this will work for some and not for others because some just it would be painful for them, but is to keep a journal. And to write down your thoughts, to write down what you're thinking, what you're feeling. Write down the events of the day and how you acted and how you responded. And then you have it in black and white. Then it's recorded. Then it's in front of you. And you can turn that over to the Lord and say, Lord, here was my day. Such as it was, I turn it over to you. Strengthen me for the next day. Or if you write in the morning, you're praying for the day ahead and you give it to the Lord. How about practicing becoming a good listener? Say what? The Lord says, he who has ears, let him hear. We all have ears, but do we hear? As we learn to listen, listening is about the ears hearing, but it's also about taking everything in. As you learn to listen to others, you learn to listen to their words, but you also learn to listen to their body language and to their emotions. You also learn to listen to yourself and to listen to that still small voice that is within you. James says this in chapter 1, verse 19 of James. He says, "Know this, my beloved brothers and sisters, let every person be quick to hear, slow to speak, and slow to anger." Now, how much better would your life gone last week if you had been quick to hear, slow to speak, and slow to anger? That is a practice in the discipline of self-awareness. Because often I act in just the reverse. Quick to anger, quick to speak, and then, oh, that's not what you said, was it? Oh, that's not what she meant. That's not what he meant. And then we got to do damage control. But self-awareness is being quick to hear, slow to speak, and slow to anger. And the last thing I'll mention in developing self-awareness is seeking feedback. And not just feedback from people that will praise you or flatter you and tickle your ears, but feedback from people around you, whether it's at work, whatever the situation is, or your spouse, whatever it is, seek their feedback. 360 degrees all around. And ask, how am I doing? It's rebuking one another in the Christian faith is a characteristic of the Christian community. We should be asking each other, how am I doing? And want honest feedback. There's a lot of instruction in the New Testament, the epistles, about rebuking one another, keeping each other straight. In Luke, the Gospel of Luke, chapter 17, verse 3, Jesus says, pay attention to yourselves. Pay attention to yourselves. If your brother sins, rebuke him. And if he repents, forgive him. And then in Proverbs 15, we have this very wise instruction. The ear that listens to life-giving reproof will dwell among the wise. Whoever ignores instruction despises himself, but he who listens to reproof gains intelligence. Life-giving reproof. The feedback, the loving feedback that you receive from your brothers and sisters is life-giving. It will save you a lot of grief for your soul and perhaps for your own body. So there you have it. Self-awareness is, if we want to draw closer to God and we want to draw closer to our Christian community, we've got to become self-aware. And that is not going through life as a fastball where we're just on the fast track to success or to wealth building or to power or to control, whatever it is that's driving you. But to develop an awareness of where we are in the world in relationship to our brothers and sisters and to our Lord. And that opens up, when that plank comes out of the eye, it opens up a whole new world for you, a whole new reality. And if your life is just one fastball after another down the middle, whoosh, 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 if that's your life, hoping the batter doesn't catch up and connect for a homer, that will finally shoot you down, shut you down. Maybe you need a curveball. A curveball is a little beauty, a little nuance, creativity, calmness, a subtle break right at the last moment. Because that's who we are when we live in the Spirit. Living in the Spirit is not just one fastball down the middle after another, just pushing, pushing, driving, driving, controlling and dominating in life. The curveball is more nuanced. It's more subtle. It's pretty. You think it's going one way and it goes the other. It's spontaneous. It's unpredictable. It creates a deep, beautiful life. And that comes out of self-awareness. That comes out of letting the Lord begin to do His work in us. And to open up new vistas, open up new possibilities, new potential for our life when we begin to look inside and see what's going on there. It creates a calm, cheerful soul. That's who's self-assured. Because he took the time, or she took the time, to look inside. The habit is deep, though. And I'll close with this. The habit is ingrained to judge others first. Man, we always have our antenna out to judge others. Man, we are good at that. I am the best critic of everyone else that you've ever seen. I can criticize you like nobody. I can point out every fault that you have. Just get in line. I'll call them off. And then next, it's ingrained in us. We do it as a protective mechanism, and we also do it to put ourselves higher in the pecking order in relation to others. But Jesus is always about taking the back seat, isn't he? He's always about taking the low position and sitting there and taking it all in and looking at the life from the Spirit. And so to break that habit requires a new practice. It requires a new way of engaging the world. And those things that we talked about this morning will help develop that. Going into your prayer closet and it's creating some space and some time to be with the Lord, to let the light of Christ to shine into the good and the bad and the ugly of your life. And to develop mindfulness, to pray without ceasing every moment of your life, allowing living in that moment and perceiving what you're doing in that moment, and then allowing God to adjust your conversation and your actions. Keeping a journal, we talked about practicing to be a good listener and seeking feedback. Start practicing. Those are practical things we can do as Christians. Christianity is not just about believing. Believing is fundamental, but what are you going to do after you believe? How are you going to change? How are you going to become the new person that Christ wants you to be? How are you going to become the new creation? Well, we got to enter into the Christian disciplines in order to do that. It's a disciplined life. We are disciples of Christ. So I encourage you to begin to engage in those disciplines. And one of them is learning to practice self-awareness. It is a way that opens you up to Christ, the Christ who can fill you with joy, who can fill you with happiness, who can turn your life around in ways that you never imagined. So that's the first original selfie, self-awareness. Are we practicing it? If not, are we willing to? Or are you just going to go through life as this curmudgeon, whether you're young or old, always judging and being negative about others, rather than looking into yourself and allowing Christ to free that potential that's there for your life? Let's pray together. Father, forgive us this morning for going through life just throwing one fastball down the middle after another, hoping life doesn't finally catch up and figure it out and latch onto one of those and knock a homer and shut us out for the inning. Father, teach us the curveball. Teach us the subtle, nuanced, calm, and cheerful life of the one who is self-aware. The one who doesn't take the front place but takes the rear. The one who doesn't take the high position but takes the lowly. And allows Christ to shine from within. Father, may we be that kind of a Christian so that the kingdom of God might develop around us in our marriages and in our families, in our homes, in our communities, in our nation, and yea, even our world. And as we practice this self-awareness, we will give you praise and honor and glory now and forever. Amen.